Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and as always, I'm joined by Jay Kranda. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you for having me. Actually, not having me, having our friend Sean here. Sean, thanks so much for being with us and joining us. And I hope our YouTube channel grows with having you on our show, because our YouTube channel is pathetic. So,
and Sean has more than one name though. Sean Cannell, at Sean Cannell of YouTubeForChurches.com. Sean.
Hey, man, it's good to be on here. Excited to be on the podcast and excited about what you guys are doing and how you're helping people with social media. So.
Excellent. Well, we've got a lot of questions for you, and video is blowing up social media, as you know, and you're the YouTube guy, but as we've talked about before, is video is so much bigger than YouTube now. When it comes to social media, as you look at Periscope and you look at even Facebook prioritizing video, a trend I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I think I read this in the Washington Post, is that 50% of all internet bandwidth is taken up by video now, and they're saying 80% by 2016. Are those numbers correct, or what are you hearing?
You know, I'm hearing the same stuff, and Social Media Examiner recently stated that a video is people's preferred content format of choice. And so I really believe this. I think that video is the most important strategy in content marketing today. And whether that is, as you said, Facebook video, Twitter video, Snapchat, YouTube, Periscope, there's so much different video happening. And so, yeah, people definitely need to take note. And churches and church leaders can reach a lot of people and do a lot of cool things with video.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk.
Go ahead. Hey. Let's not be rude.
Sorry. Get excited.
So, with everything going on with churches, I'm just curious, and I know people can learn more about like basic steps to get going at YouTubeForChurches.com. But with people listening right now, what are some basic things that you feel like churches kind of make mistakes as they're doing video? Is it lighting? Is it audio? Is it content? Is it the way they're shooting it? Like, what are some things that you see basically? You're like, oh man, I wish they would fix this and that.
That's a great question. And I think one of the big mistakes right off the bat is actually that a lot of churches are putting out content, but they totally drop the ball on the marketing side of things. And so when you put out your sermons, of course, you could have better stage lighting and you could upgrade your cameras. And sometimes the content quality is low. But a lot of times what I see is that people in churches, they upload their content and then they pretty much stop there. And I usually say this, that if it took you 50% of the time to upload the content, to create it, so you shot the message and you edit it, you should spend another 50% of your time allocated towards the marketing or the promotion and getting it out there. And so that's everything from video SEO to just titling the video right and doing the metadata so people can actually find and search the content, and then doing things like sharing that video content with your email list and on your social media. And a lot of churches, they just stop. It's like the video's out there, and then there's kind of like this faith hope marketing that I just hope someone discovers that, and it just really doesn't happen. And so I think that's one of the biggest pieces that church leaders could do to see more people reached internally and externally with their video content.
That's awesome. So if you were to focus on three platforms, social networks or whatever platforms online that churches should focus on with video, what would those platforms be? And then talk a little bit about that marketing. So if they're doing Twitter or whatever it might be, how do they best market those on those platforms specifically?
Absolutely. Well, I still feel that YouTube is the home base, and I've got some good articles out there. One to look up on Church Marketing Sucks is YouTube versus Vimeo, and we won't even go there, but that's sometimes a hang up for people. So I still think that YouTube would be your home base, and that's your library of content. Your church video announcements, your sermon messages, your sermon snippets, event promos, event recaps, missions trip recaps, and maybe a devotional from your pastor every Wednesday, a couple minute devotional videos, whatever. That's going to be your library of content. And then I think your second platform to focus on is Facebook. And sometimes there's with Facebook really video stats even outperforming YouTube in some cases, people sometimes want to jump from the one to the other. And it's not either or, it's both and. And so there's ways to, of course, use your content in both places, or now in your content creation, potentially just make native tweaks to the content. What do I mean by that? I just mean that your YouTube version, you export that and it's intended for YouTube, but maybe Facebook is a smaller sermon clip that then you tell, hey, if you want to see this full sermon, you link to YouTube. And so doing a mix of both. I think the next one that churches are seeing, and specifically pastors, is Periscope. I mean, you probably noticed like pastors are going crazy over it. Like everybody loves Periscope, and church leaders and church communicators. And there's something to Periscope, I think, about jumping in on something, why it's new, why there's some buzz on it, and really kind of building that audience and shifting your church audience and your membership and your congregation to maybe gather and connect with you there. There's now this chance for church members to have a sit down with the pastor Q&A right there on Periscope. And so I think those would definitely be my heavy three. And then I would say Snapchat, and specifically for younger ministries, right? I mean, if you are a youth leader or a junior high leader, you've got to be on Snapchat.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool things happening there.
And with YouTube specifically, I was curious about this. So when you're uploading a video to YouTube, and I know I've struggled with this, and I'm obviously, you know, more of a digital native, and I can navigate and get used to different technologies, you know, quickly, but I don't always know how to leverage that like an expert would. And so with YouTube, you know, I know you got your title when you upload something, you got your description, and then you got all that tagging, which is the meta tagging or whatever. And for everyone who's listening, you know, that's a way that stuff, you know, gets found and so forth. How robust do you tag things? And do you use any third party websites or software to create tags? Or do you save tags from previous videos and just do kind of a copy and paste? I was just curious for any like basic instruction on that.
That's a great question. And to be honest, in this year and moving forward, the kind of SEO best practices have shifted a little bit. Google is going more and more to just great content wins, social triggers, what's getting engagement is what, you know, begins to get the results. And so all that being said, basically what you want to have, and I call it video SEO, is just video SEO best practices. And so you want to be very human with the way you label things, but you still want to communicate with the YouTube and Google algorithm just what the content of your video is. And so a good title reverse engineered to just like a good headline for a blog or something to be interesting, to capture attention. Great links and resources in the description. And here's one of the things. In the past, I would even do this. I would put extra tags in the description. That's actually no longer an okay practice from YouTube's point of view. Some videos would get taken down if you just, it'd be called keyword stuffing. But if you just put a lot of tags down there, the key in your description is you want a human paragraph in human language, which is what the algorithms are now seeing, of what the content in your video is. And then the tags similarly, you know, just then emphasize some of those key things that you would want your video to be found for. And actually in my book, YouTube for Churches, I go through some specific tips just to really become a master of some of those video SEO things, which I think is important. Once you learn it, once you kind of have that ability, it's not just for YouTube. It really transcends all of social media. And it's kind of one of the skills that it's great for church leaders to develop in the digital world.
Sean, I'm curious, you've uploaded, I would assume over 1,000. Do you have a count of how many videos you've uploaded? And out of those, do you have a favorite? Like, do you have one that you're like, this was like my peak, like this one went more viral than the others? I mean, I've seen thousands and thousands of views on your videos. What, do you have a highlight in all of the videos that you've uploaded?
I haven't done a count, and I should. And I think it's kind of crazy because it spans so many different channels. Churches,
right.
Is Benny Perez Ministries, my pastor, you know, niche things, our conferences, just so many different things, as well as personal projects. I think that, you know, to be honest, one of my favorite videos barely has any views. It's like the most underappreciated. It's got a couple thousand. There's a phenomenal, and I don't, if there's show notes for this, you should link it up. It's a promotional video for a men's conference that is just awesome. And it's,
we'll find it. We'll find it and put it in the show notes. I love the kit. There's the more popular one that you have on your channel where you're interviewing, like, is it, who is it? It's not your kid. It's like a friend's daughter.
Yeah. That's one of my best friend's daughter. I've got an interview with a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old. Those are some phenomenal and funny videos. But it's that men's conference one. Some of our church conference ones that are out there. There is after the podcast, I'll maybe even think of a good answer and we can throw it in the show notes of some things worth seeing. And I've created a playlist too. So people can kind of tour around different things, because that's what church leaders, of course, are doing. You've got some sermon clips, conference promos, creative ways to do things. And so here's a good example. At our Orange County campus, we actually did a promotion with a mailer for New Year's. And it was a mailer going out into the community. And then it was, it started on print, but then it continued online. And with New Year's, it was like, hey, you're setting New Year's resolutions and you're setting new goals, right? Mm-hmm. Check out this video about how goal setting tips. So it was kind of like an outreach minded, kind of unchurch focused kind of a mailer. So like, hey, well, of course I want to set resolutions. I want to set goals. Now, the cool thing is that we were able to then track the effectiveness of the mailer and how many people went and ended up, looking at that video. But because of then also just treating that video as kind of like an evergreen how to set goals, I forget exactly what it's titled, it gets passive traffic, which continues to get our church channel discovered, puts that particular campus more on the map. And so I think I like that example, because it continues to get views, but it has kind of an intentional strategy from concept to completion. Like, it's got a real purpose that's greater than just one video that you upload and few people see it and then it just disappears forever. But it has some intentionality to, I love that term, evergreen, to continue to work for you and getting your church discovered once it's done perpetually.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, and you're always having creative ideas, and and I want to challenge you. We'll put in the show notes everything we're talking about, but check out Sean's YouTube channel and we'll put links to different things he's doing, both personal and his church as well. He has some great examples. Something that I love is that we were even talking back and forth about having you on our podcast, and you responded on Twitter, not with a reply or, email me here kind of thing. You did a video, and it was like, I don't think I had seen somebody do that. Like, and I was like, when you did it, it was like, oh, that's such a smart idea. Of course, the video expert's doing that. I mean, it was so personal. And so I was thinking about with churches, like with Twitter, using video in that way of just, what if your senior leader or whoever it is sending prayer requests or responding back like that? It makes it such a personal touch. And I love that. So, you're coming out with stuff like that all the time, but I just wanted to highlight that, how cool that was. Let's get a little practical. So on the show, we're talking to people that are at churches, launching churches, plant all sorts of things. One way to start that is let's do a little bit of a review of the Social Media Church YouTube channel. So, we're going to be honest. Niels and I will be honest. We're not very good at promoting this YouTube channel. We haven't thought too much about it. We just started uploading content. Hey, Sean, I will say we did put some art up there. So we thought about the channel art and even the welcome video, the intro video. But beyond that, it's getting just a fraction. Right now we might be averaging, around 4,000 downloads of our podcast a month. And that channel per video is getting like 4 or 10 views. And I'm just like, I look at that and I honestly, I get discouraged. I'm like, let's just move forward and do something else. So let's start with this. What is Sean's critique? The YouTubeForChurches.com expert, what are we doing wrong on there?
Well, honestly, I think you guys are doing great. And I see the artwork. It's beautiful. That looks awesome. So, but a couple of thoughts, I'll just roll through them. The first is video SEO. And so you've got great titles and those are there, but when I look at the description, you could definitely add some information there. Here's one of the goals, and I go through this especially in a project I'm calling Video Influencers, but one of my targets whenever I think about a YouTube video is I want to rank for search terms. And so I want to be on the other side of search terms. That's, of course, what a church in a city wants to be if they want to be for Las Vegas Church, where we are, or whatever. And so for those search terms, creative church staffing is one of your titles, or, you know, Facebook groups for ministry. I want to rank for those terms. And the video SEO side, it would be the thing, just that good title, that description, and the tags. And here's the one quick hack, is just to look at my stuff and then just like swipe what I'm doing. Like, that'd be a fast way to just look in the description and kind of follow that format. That'll help. And secondly, thumbnails. You know, it's still this, on top of search, thumbnails, you can upload custom thumbnails. If that's not turned on, all you need to do turn on Google AdSense, even if you don't monetize your videos.
Huh.
But if you don't have the thumbnail option, and that's something churches can do as well, doesn't mean you're going to put ads on your videos, but you need to turn it on if you don't have the ability to upload a custom thumbnail. That is such a provocative piece, you know, and even when it gets shared on social. So if you were to take that video and then share on Facebook, that thumbnail is going to pop up. It might be more vibrant. It's got the title and text, whatever. So that's another thing. You know, the biggest thing, it's just going to be your marketing side of things. Everything in social media, I believe, is about, you know, I've heard it said content is king, but marketing is queen and she runs the household. And so good content, which, your content's awesome. You've got these different, you know, influencers on here and phenomenal content, but then the marketing piece comes in. I know you guys have that, your newsletter that you're building. When you link to the podcast, I don't know. I'll just assume I know nothing, which I don't. I would also send that email out, you know, listen to the podcast here, listen to it on Stitcher Radio here, watch the YouTube link here. And that's just going to educate more people that they can go watch it there. That's a way to drive traffic. Certainly using, you know, Buffer or Hootsuite to educate people multiple times throughout the week about the YouTube channel. There's a great little... hard to explain over this, but you can add YouTube. You can send a link out to your YouTube channel with ?, confirmation ?, something like that. We put the details in the show notes, which brings people right to a landing page to subscribe on the YouTube channel, and building that base of subscribers is huge. And so really thinking about just traffic to it. People love this. And if they're listening to the podcast right now, giving a call to action, like, guys, go to the YouTube channel right now. We need help. Yeah. Nils needs help. Jay needs help on the YouTube channel.
I thought it was just our faces. You know, I've spent a lot of time figuring out my background. So I want to promote this backdrop. So if you're listening to the show and you want to see what my backdrop, I got these from inhabit.com. They're tiles, $70. And now it's in my bedroom as my backdrop. So I want to promote this. So
it's phenomenal.
And that's what I'm hearing, is that the screenshots, the thumbnails of our faces are killing us. What we need is a custom graphic so that people can see something else.
Yeah. I love that. Nils, you can ask one last question after me, because I'm so interested on this. Any thoughts, Sean, on, you know, something that, you know, a lot of people are relying off of, and I know it's a quality thing. Have you ever, or would you ever use like a Fiverr to do any graphics? I was curious about that, because like, you can get $5 graphics, but obviously you don't really control the quality. It's going to be a lower quality, but you can get, I just did this. I've done this video course with our friend Kenny, and we're trying to build an email list and help people with social media. And we did a bonus content session for those who subscribe on Periscope, and we shot it real quick. I actually just used Fiverr. And it was $5, and I got an intro graphic and an outro graphic, and I put it together in iMovie. You know what I mean? It was so basic. But what are your thoughts on that stuff? Is it like, no, you know, you got a higher investment, you got to think more about it?
Yeah, no, I think that stuff's great. I think that basics in today's world is, you really do need to have good lighting. You have to have good audio almost more than good video, because people need to hear what you're saying. And then you just want, but it's all about the content. And so sometimes we can get wrapped up on those distinctions, and we can get almost like a perfectionism. I think that holds people back. Mm. I think you got to get your message out there, really realize it's the core of what you're saying. I would tell a pastor this, you know, share 5 minutes of content for a weekly devotional that really lifts people's spirits, that's, you know, well-researched and prayed up and is a great message. And that's going to resonate a lot more than whether they have a good bumper or not. Now, I think having one and having some branding is really important, but Fiverr all the way, you know, don't get hung up. And a lot of times people, maybe 6 months later, they still haven't started putting out videos because they're waiting for this perfectionism to happen. Man, don't do that. Get your stuff out there. You've got people to reach, a message to share. So just go do it.
I love it. Any last questions, Niels?
Yeah, I've got one, and it might be a little longer, take us over our time, but Sean, this is such good stuff, and I think church leaders are going to hang on long for this. So one of the things we're debating about at Community Bible Church is getting into advertising with video, with YouTube ads and with Facebook ads. Is it worth it? What are you seeing? And then I'm also hearing, too, the view count is different. The way Facebook counts views and the way YouTube counts views is different. And so as we create metrics for the value, what are you seeing there? What do you understand in those areas?
That's a good question. And I think it's absolutely worth it. I think both are incredible ad opportunities right now because there's still not a lot of people jumping in because video content is harder to create. So like pre-roll ads on YouTube is more challenging than a couple lines of text and a link on Google AdSense. So YouTube is wanting people to jump on that platform and use it. So people are getting phenomenally low ad spends, cheap views per video. And so YouTube, definitely. Facebook, absolutely. One of the things, I think the biggest question is always to just reverse engineer it for what your end goal is. To give you an example, we have a conference that people register for and come to. So it makes a lot of sense to use Facebook video views. And all we wanted to do was go for exposure, but we could also track who is coming through, of course, to the website. Mm-hmm. And then on the website, we've got some free leadership series that leads to an email address. So we have like a real intentional purpose with that whole thing. But our video sense were, or our video views were a penny per video view or less. And one of the things we also noticed was that embedded video was getting a ton of comments, a ton of likes, a ton of people tagging other people like, you know, hey, Michelle, have you seen this conference? And then we jumped in as our brand dedicated conference and started to engage right there. And so absolutely. And I know you've got a great online church and that would be a great thing to promote because you reach people all around the world.
Right.
Facebook ads, video ads and YouTube video ads. Absolutely something to explore and something I would say to jump in on for the next 6 to 12 months to have a real like leader advantage, if you will, before it just kind of gets a little oversaturated, just more expensive and not as affordable for churches.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Sean, so much powerful stuff. And I know we shared different videos and you got the video influence stuff that I've been checking out. That's a new thing that you're getting off the ground. Make sure if you want to stay in regular contact, the easiest place you can go right now is youtubeforchurches.com. You also can follow them on Twitter, and we're going to give all that in the show notes. And we will be promoting these things more often on our channel this week. So thanks again, Sean, for taking time out of your busy day. You got great hair, by the way. And if you're listening to the audio and you want to know this, go to our YouTube channel. You can see Sean's great hair. So anyways, thanks for listening. To learn more about the show, go to socialmedia.church. Check out our YouTube channel and engage with the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.